everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 238, recorded on Sunday, September 29th, 2019. We got the band back together. I'm joined by my two hosts, Lizzie and Tim. Lizzie, how are you? It's been forever since we've had you on. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I miss you guys so much. I'm great. I'm having a great week. It is almost fall, even though the official day of fall has happened. I refuse to acknowledge it before October 1st. Because that is not how Lizzie rolls. No, 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 no.
You come up here. I'll show you Lizzie, some fall. The first day of fall was a few days ago.
It is 86 degrees here, so hello.
Well, it stays that warm in the wintertime down there, Lizzie. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, Disney's been celebrating Halloween since middle of August. I just, that's not okay with me. I can't do it.
It's a lovely 54 degrees up here.
What?
Oh, yeah.
How are you not in parkas? No, that's a no.
see, Tim, we're still in a little bit of heat wave down here. It's still like 60 where I am.
Oh, okay.
I know. I'm not happy with that either.
I wouldn't be.
I'd much rather be a little chilly. It was 65 when I got up this morning. I was like, 65? Jesus.
Yeah. Still a little too warm.
Anyway.
It was like 73 the other day, and I was like, oh, no, I'm going to need it to be 85.
Hey, I remember living in Florida. When it got down to like, 55, you're like, where's my jacket?
Well, and because it's so, like, the moisture in the air is, it's just so thick that it does feel colder. Because when I lived in New York, I was like, 30 here is better than 50 in Florida for some reason. And why is that? That's weird.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Fact. It's facts. Anyways, the point is, I missed you guys. I'm excited to be here talking to you.
We've missed you. And you have good internet somehow?
I moved to a new location in my kitchen.
Yeah, you have like great internet. You're on video, which we never, like, we haven't seen Liz's video in like years.
Dab.
So it's fantastic.
I didn't even realize that much. She's not breaking up. I can hear everything she says. This is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a whole new era.
And it was just moving from the living room to the kitchen.
Literally.
Who would have thought?
Like I used to be like in my other part of the counter on that other side, and it was wah, wah, wah. And this side is like, oh.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's not even across the apartment. It's across the counter.
Yeah, wow. Literally.
I mean,
that's how stupid it is.
She's almost sitting on top of her stove right now, but yeah.
There it is. Still bigger than my first apartment in New York where I could wash my hands from the toilet.
Nice. Yep.
That is way too much information.
There you go. You're welcome, friends. This is a TMI podcast tonight. Just get ready.
We did not record an episode last week. We had our movie draft episode recorded last Saturday.
Yes, we did.
Which was a lot of fun. We had, I think, a record number of hosts on the show. We had a record number of movies that we put up for auction. And we did some stuff differently for the blockbuster
movie. And it was moderated by me.
What?
It was, Tim, because you won one finally. I mean, you won the spring draft.
Not only did I win the spring draft, I destroyed people in the spring draft. Destroyed.
You did. You did.
Wrecked.
You did.
Jeez.
So, congratulations. And you did a good job moderating. You kept everybody, kind of on track. And by saying kind of on track, that's a huge accomplishment because we are like herding cats.
It was challenging, but, everyone rose to the occasion. They recognized the sheer quantity of stuff that we had to get through. It was good. It was really good. It was a lot of fun. And I got to do it actually. Moved my recording studio, as it were, from my office to the kitchen, and Eric and I were recording live in front of each other, face to face, opposite ends of my kitchen table.
See, nice. Kitchens are the best place.
Yeah.
Yep. And actually earlier that day, I was up there with you, yes, and we recorded an episode of Trailer Breakdown beforehand. Yeah. So we had all three of us in one room together. Yeah. And it was weird podcasting. Seeing each other face to face and not over video and Skype and so forth.
Lizzie's right sad because she wasn't there.
Lizzie's so giving a big thumbs down.
Yeah. You are welcome to come up anytime, Elizabeth.
One day I'll get to do that.
Anytime.
One day. It'll be unprecedented.
Before that, we all got to get on to Florida and go to Galaxy's Edge with her.
Yes, totally.
I've ridden Smuggler's Run 10 times and I've been 4 times.
I don't want to hear that.
You're welcome. It's just enticement to make you want to come down even more.
Totally.
It does. It does. I really want to go. So soon, hopefully. Speaking of soon, you can now get us on Spotify.
Yes.
As far as our episodes on Random Chatter Network are on Spotify now. The feed for the whole network is there, so it's all the shows, but we are going to be getting all the individual shows up there individually on Spotify as well, too. So if that's where you get your podcast from, you now have that avenue to go down,
yeah,
which is awesome. Thanks to Tim and Eric for getting that done for us.
Very exciting news.
Speaking of things that you want to get a hold of us for, you can get a hold of us in a couple different ways. Email is probably the best way, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. On Twitter and Instagram, you can find us. Random Chatter is the handle for Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Lucy Skywalker. That's Skywalker without the E. Lizzie, where can we find you on Twitter these days?
At TWT about Lizzie.
And Tim, where are you?
At Qui-Gon Tim. That is Tim with 1, 2 M's.
12 M's?
1, 2 wow. M's? 1 plus 2? 3?
3. 3 or 12?
I was counting.
2.
Two
okay.
M's. 1, 2 M's.
You can also find us on Instagram. We have a Random Chatter account on Instagram. I am on Instagram with just Lou Secchi, or my Star Wars toy account, which is 6-inch Hero. And I think Lizzie's pretty active on Instagram as well. Where are you, Lizzie?
I'm at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie, or my small shop is at The Thrifty Duckling.
The Thrifty Duckling?
Duckling, yes.
Okay, I thought you said juggling. I was like, what?
That would be crazy.
No, no, duckling isn't baby duck. Tamir
on,
like, is a baby duck.
Tamir on Instagram as well, right? Where are you on Instagram?
I am, but I'm mostly active on Twitter.
He's secret. Okay. He's secretly on Instagram.
It's not a secret. I just...
If you find him, he will give you a quarter.
Which will be sent to you by Liz. That's
a promise.
Wow.
One quarter.
We're not even 8 minutes in, and we already devolved into debauchery. Let's see. Also, you can find us on Discord. It's probably the best place to chat with all of us. We do have a Discord server up for the network. Some of the channels are free. Some of the channels are behind. If you do Patreon donations to us, we give you access to all the channels. But we do have quite a few of them for free. Patreon, of course, you can get on there and donate $1 a month or more to us for different levels of stuff we give you back. One of them is the Discord stuff. We use behind-the-scenes stuff for higher levels of donation to us as well. And, of course, you can actually get some more stuff now. If you wanted to get a T-shirt with the Random Chatter logo or a mug with the Guardians of the MCU logo on it, you can go to randomchatter.com/store to find all that good merchandise out there. Well, let's get into the show. Tim, what are you watching these days?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so this morning when I woke up, I was flipping through the channels while I was lazing around, and I caught the movie Great Wall.
Okay.
I was very sad that I spent the time to watch that movie.
Isn't that the Tom Cruise one?
No, no. Matt Damon.
Oh, also, oh, yeah. No.
Have either of you seen it?
No.
Hard pass.
Don't bother. just bother. Simply okay. Don't bother. Good. It's, yeah, don't do it.
Could it be because it's about China but stars Matt Damon?
Well, that's actually the least of the issues that movie has. Oh yeah.
But it's a big one I have with it.
It is, yeah. Let's see. Also, the BattleBots finale, which was fantastic. There were some things that happened there that basically blew up robots, and it was such a good time.
Nice.
Magnum PI is back, which makes me very happy because of Perdisha Weeks, who plays Higgins, who is a wonderful human being. This afternoon, after the Giants won, we watched Sleepy Hollow, as we're kind of kicking off the season here.
The movie or the TV show?
The movie.
Okay.
Yep. The Tim Burton movie, which I think is fantastic. The cast is incredible. It's a great story. Really well done. Love that movie. And then also watch the second season of The Chef Show. And it talked about that a little bit over on Echo Base, particularly because one of the episodes they do at Skywalker Ranch. But this is John Favreau's show, him and Chef Roy Choi. do a bunch of food, different celebrities and some different chefs, and cook a bunch of stuff from the movie Chef that Jon Favreau did, as well as just some other random recipes here and there, and have great discussions. And it's not your traditional cooking show. It's just a very casual thing. It's like friends hanging out, and while they're hanging out, they're cooking and talking. And I love it. I think it's just really well done. It's a fun show. It's great. Lou, you got to cook with me last weekend. So
I did.
Had we recorded it, we would have had our own random chatter chef show. Yeah.
We should have. I didn't do. I mainly sat there and drank while you cooked. But
yeah, but you helped. You still helped.
I don't mind cooking. It's just I didn't this time.
It was all good. It was all good. Definitely. We made some pico de gallo together.
That we did. Yeah. We also played Connect Four, and I lost several times.
Giant drunken Connect Four.
I blame the black coins, but that's okay. Lizzie, what have you been watching?
I've been watching one thing, and I'm just going to tell you about it right now because I'm obsessed with it, and it's Fleabag.
Fleabag.
And I don't know if you know anything about it.
But I don't know anything about it.
Tell us about it.
It just swept at the Emmys. I mean, it just like cleaned up.
Yes,
sort of put it on my radar. But because of the new podcast that I'm doing with my girlfriends, like primarily about sex, I asked for a lot of requests for shows from people, and a lot of people recommended Fleabag to me. And so it was already a little on my radar because of that. But I'll get to it eventually, because TV is harder to cover than movies as far as the podcast is concerned. But after the Emmys, I like got caught on an Andrew Scott like rabbit hole on Twitter. He plays Moriarty on Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep.
And he is phenomenal in that role if you've ever watched. I know both of you probably have seen that. Phenomenal in that role. And so once I found out he was in it, I was like, hold up, I must watch all of it. It is only two seasons. It's six episodes per season, and each episode is like 22 minutes. It's on Amazon Prime. And I cannot stop watching it. Like, I've already, like, it's not that much to watch, but I've watched it over and over and over again because it's so freaking good. It's not a sitcom, but it's funny. It breaks the wall where she's turning at the camera and talking to the camera a lot in the middle of talking to whoever she's talking to on screen. And so it's very just smart and snappy. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who stars in it, she wrote it. She's just brilliant in it. And it's just, I don't know, it's just so good. But Andrew plays Heart Priest. And that is exactly what it sounds like.
Okay.
He is literally, if you put like Hot Priest in the GIFs on Twitter, that is who will come up as him. Because that is what he is. And it's, I don't know, it's just really great. It's a great show. And I just can't get enough of it. And I'm obsessed with it. So anyways, that's my new obsession. Cool. Welcome. If you're on Twitter, then that is all my like last five tweets were. Was like, P.S. I'm not over this. Like, by the way, I can't even. Like, why is he the best human?
Funny enough, Lou actually posts Hot Priest GIFs all the time.
Oh my gosh, that sounds exactly right.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, sorry.
Well, you'll be speaking my language then.
I'm gonna throw something here for you right now too. One thing you should add for your other show you're doing,
yes,
your new show, yes. I don't know if you've seen this series, The Girlfriend Experience
on Stars, yes.
I think it's good. I haven't seen I've seen most of season one, I think, but it's good. It's a good series.
Oh, I'm literally gonna write it down right now because we're always looking for new suggestions.
It's kind of based off the movie that Steven Soderbergh did. I don't know what year that was.
It's a movie or a TV show?
No, it's a series. Well, it was originally a movie, but it became a series on Stars, I think it was.
Okay. I'm writing it down because we are always looking for suggestions. We're only 10 episodes in, and as far as, like, you know, sex content in movies and television, it's a wide assortment out there, but not as wide as you think.
I have a shortage of material.
No, but there's not as much as you'd think. Because you'd think about something, you'd be like, does it really have sex, or do they sort of, like, walk into a room and then you don't see anything happen? So we have to sort of, like, think through, like, what do you actually see that we can discuss, and what do you not see? So anyways, I'm putting it on my list. But anyways, yep. Fleabag is phenomenal, worth every Emmy. They totally deserve it. It's a very smart show. So anyways, I'm obsessed. Cool.
Very cool. I finally finished season 7 of Homeland.
Okay.
So I am up to date. Season 8 comes out, I think, next year, I think. Hopefully that'll be out and I can watch it. And I guess they said that is the last season of Homeland. So the series is great. I highly recommend it. If you haven't seen it, go out and check that out. And then most recently I watched Dark City again. We're doing that on the next episode of Movie Chatter, and I hadn't seen that in a few years. So I watched, the director's cut version of, Dark City. Great movie, by the way. So otherwise that is about all I've been doing. I've been traveling quite a bit. I did set up something cool at work. We actually got our first, Husqvarna auto mower installed at the store. So we have a little robotic mower out mowing part of the lawn at the store.
Nice.
And it's that's pretty fancy. Cool.
And you brought it home for the weekend.
Cool. No, if I could put the wire in the ground, I would do that in a heartbeat, because I think that'd be great to come home and never have to have your lawn mowed. But yeah, I mean, not that this is an ad for that brand. There's a couple other brands of auto mower, of a robotic mower out there. And some new ones coming out within the next couple of years. But if you ever thought about having a mower that you don't have to mow your lawn and can sit and drink beer on the porch while the lawn's being mowed, I think that's a great thing. And this is a pretty cool little feature. And it's, and you've got an app you can control on your phone. And yeah, it's just all kinds of coolness. So,
Lou, what you have to do is say, I really love it. I highly recommend it. # not an ad. There you go. That's what you do on Instagram, is to say, like, everything you love about it, but you have to be like, # not an ad. Not an ad.
There you go.
I will do that.
Yeah.
That way people know. I'm going to get a video of me sitting at the store in a chair with my feet up, drinking a, well, not an alcohol beverage, because that's not how we do it for the store, but I would, you know, I'm on the lawn drinking my cup of tea or something.
There you go.
So, let's see. Box office update for this week. Abominable came out week one, took the box office with $20 million.
Way better than I expected.
I heard it's freaking cute.
It looks cute, but I don't know how it was going to do. I think I was a little bit over $20 million on what I thought it was going to do on Fantasy Movie League, but wasn't going to be top notch anyways. But yeah, $20.9 million in its first week. Downton Abbey in its second week brought another $14.5 million in for $58.5 million total. Hustlers in week three brought another $11.5 million in for $80 million total. It Chapter Two is still rolling along, and what Tim?
It's fine.
What the heck is Liz doing?
Sorry. Oh,
Jesus. See, now I can yell at you like it.
I'm sorry. I was choking on popcorn.
Lizzie, don't joke.
That's why don't I muted it. Tim ruined it.
He did. He did. Okay, back to the movie. Box office results. It Chapter 2 brought another $10.4 million in its fourth week, bringing its total to $193 million. And Ad Astra in week two brought another $10.1 million in for $35 million for a total. Has to be disappointing for that movie. I think that's a little under where I think it was going to be.
But, way under.
What is that movie
I still haven't
again?
Been out to see it, but yeah.
Which is that one again?
What's that, Lizzie?
What's the Ad Astra one again?
That's the one with Brad Pitt, space movie.
I've seen zero trailers for it.
Really?
And I saw it on the marquee and I was like, what the F is that?
It looks really good. I mean, everything I've heard about it says the visuals are amazing. It's a really good space movie. It's supposed to be very slow paced, which can put some people off, but
I just heard no things about it. I'm kind of thinking
it's
going to
be slow paced like Interstellar was.
Yeah. Anything I've heard about the story is that it's just very common. Like, basically replicate half the sci-fi movies out there, and there's Ad Astra.
Except for Brad Pitt's in it, so. Mm-hmm.
Yep, pretty much.
He will always be boyfriend. It's fine. Keep going.
Oh, well. Next week, we're going to have Joker out in the theaters.
No.
I am really interested to see how well this does.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious. I mean, there is no bad press, as they often say in marketing. And
yeah, I don't know about that.
The trailers haven't done a whole heck of a lot for me. I was looking forward to this movie before we started seeing the trailers, and then the trailers just haven't done a whole lot. We talked about it last week on Trailer Breakdown, and then obviously we also talked a lot about a lot of the controversy that's associated with the film, and so that again that may hurt it, but it also may help it. You know, you get a lot of press out there, so
yeah, right. We got more of that coming up later on in the show, but yeah, we'll see how it does. See, our movie draft, the summer draft, is going to be finishing up soon. We're at the end of the run of movies,
yep.
And I am still in the lead.
Yeah, Lou, you are in the lead. I've taken over second, but I'm about 63 million behind. I don't see that there's any possible way that I'm going to catch up. I'm tentatively going to call it for you. This is like 95% sure, but you know, we're going to let it go for another week or two. But
Tim,
really what it comes down to is that, I mean, I'm just collecting some, you know, bare bones layover from some films. We lost two more movies, at the end of this draft. We lost a lot of movies in this draft that got postponed. So, there was a lot of change that happened from that.
We lost seven movies out of the 29 that we had.
Yeah, that's a lot. So I mean that's a solid quarter of the movies. That's nuts.
And you know what? I didn't lose any.
Yeah, and that contributed a lot to your win.
Good picking on my part.
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
No, so just pure luck.
I just don't think that anyone's gonna be able to close the gap. And over in the audience draft side, Chickafin has a solid lead. She has just taken off, and she's very likely to win the audience draft there. So I expect in the next week or so, we'll officially be calling this draft on both the host side and the audience side.
So then I will run the next movie draft.
Yes.
Nice. Okay, let's see. Too many windows open here. Let's get right into our discussion. And I am I thought I was in the wrong show for a minute. I was like, wait, these look really like the show we know she had for Echo Base.
There's a couple of similar items, yeah.
There are. So let's start off with the big news we have for Disney Plus. We now have subscriptions available. Mm-hmm. You can sign up online now. Or the monthly or the annual subscription, and that will get you in to start on November 12th for viewing, which if you're like us, you'd be watching The Mandalorian right away.
Lizzie, have you signed up yet?
No, not yet. I'm waiting to see what the deals are doing with Hulu and Spotify because I'm already a subscriber, and I do have a bundle with those two that's $9.99 for both Hulu and Spotify.
Gotcha.
And or $11.99, and which my Spotify alone was $9.99. So I was like, Hulu for $2, obviously.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I don't know what kind of bundles they're going to be doing. I haven't gotten any information via like my Hulu Spotify subscription, which I feel like will come down the pipe eventually. But since I'm already paying for half of what I'll be getting, I'd like to know what that bundle will be rather than. Mm-hmm. What's already out there. So I just haven't gotten any information yet, which I feel is weird.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you could just add Disney Plus to that for a few dollars. So what's out there right now is just the monthly and annual subscriptions for only Disney Plus. The the big bundle that's been promoted for a while, the one with Hulu and ESPN Plus, which is $12.99 a month, that's not going to be available until November 12th, which is actually the launch date of Disney Plus, which makes zero sense to me. I don't know why they're waiting for subscriptions for that. They may just wanting to be front loading as many Disney Plus proper subscriptions as possible.
Well, I think what started to happen, I mean, being down here and being part of the Disney community, and this is a little bit of a different division, but I still see the same themes across the board mm-hmm. for Disney, is that like they're big on the day now. The day of a thing is like the day when it can be trending, the day when they can promote, you know, merchandise. They have a merchandising event for everything now. They have like the Skyliner just promoed today. Like it was, it's live to the public today. And there's like Skyliner merchandise and like whatever. So like the day of the thing is now the new thing. So I see them doing this like big day on the 12th of like events at the parks for Disney Plus. Like what's the tie-in? Who's going to be at the park? Who can you see? What media event, what media outlets will be there? What kind of content are they going to promo from the influencer and vlogger, you know, camps? Like I've seen so much more of that lately that I just can't believe that they wouldn't do that with Disney Plus because of the big tentpole thing that it's going to be as far as streaming is concerned and the opportunity to do crossovers. Like, will Pablo be at Galaxy's Edge in front of the Millennium Falcon on the 12th to promo that it's, you know what I mean? Like, that's totally what's going to happen, you know? So will Tom Hiddleston be in Disneyland meeting Loki? Like, I can see all of those things happening because so many more of, like, the release days have become, like, an opportunity to, like, be trending on Twitter and, like, whatever, whatever. So I see it as a push towards that goal. And the more people who are going to, like, wait to subscribe on that day and then, like, be talking about it, I don't know. I see that happening. So I've just seen it a lot more with just events at Disney overall. So I don't know why it wouldn't extend to Disney Plus.
Sure, sure. No, I mean, that's if that's their marketing strategy, they may very well extend that across, you know, the different business areas. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Mm. I think they know waiting isn't going to hurt them, too. So
true. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that people are going to be, oh my God, I'm not going to do it at all. Yeah. Now, but
yeah. I mean, with the slate of things that they released in that list, like, holy Moses, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think having access to all that stuff forever is great. And that's, you know, I've been looking at, well, I want to get, movies I haven't looked at, haven't picked up that I wanted to pick up. I'm like, well, why should I buy it now? Because I'm going to have Disney Plus soon, I'll have access to whenever I want to.
Yep.
True.
So, yeah.
Plus, it's changing the way I'm
thinking about. What's that?
I said, plus, Phil of the Future, which is a Disney Channel show that was like one of my favorites. So excited.
Nice.
So that is Disney Plus. We talked about this a lot over at Echo Base for a while, but the man behind the juggernaut Marvel movies is going to be doing a Star Wars movie now. That doesn't mean what we think it means, though. So he is not taking over Star Wars. Nope. He is not directing the movie. He's not starring in the movie. It's just him being producer. We're talking about Kevin Feige, who has been the guy behind the MCU stuff for the last 10 years, doing something with Kathleen Kennedy, a film of sorts, I guess. They're not sure what yet, or we're not sure what yet. They haven't announced it to anybody else. I'm sure they have a good idea what they're doing. At least I hope they do. I think it's good news we're getting Kevin Feige to do a Star Wars movie. What do you guys think about that? Lizzie?
I don't know how I feel about it.
What? Really?
I love Kevin. He's an amazing producer. I don't like how Star Wars has been handled. So I don't know. I just don't know how I feel. I don't want it to be like Marvel. So not that he can't create something completely new. I believe in him as a producer. So I want, like, my faith in him as a producer is so high that I think pretty good thoughts about it, but like my faith in how Star Wars has been handled with the new trilogy and just a lot of the newer content is not as high. So for me, it feels like, I don't know, but he's a great showrunner. Yeah, so if you're going to have a showrunner, then, you know, or somebody of that caliber, then fine. But I don't know. I'm just.
See, and I think this actually lends kind of, you know, more credence to the fact that it may not be Marvel-esque in the way he does things, but he brings a different eye to the table and a different way of doing things to the table that's going to hopefully benefit Star Wars.
Yeah, I see that.
You know, I mean, we haven't I think the media and the internet is farther down on Star Wars than I think they should be. Personally, right now, I think that things aren't as bad as you would believe if you just read the internet and didn't have any thoughts of your own. But
for real,
I think this is a good thing. I think we're going to get a different take on things and bring a different perspective to the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I mean the stuff that Kevin touches is gold. And as Lou mentioned, he's not directing, he's not writing. That's not what Kevin Feige does. He is a producer. This is a guy who looks at the big picture of things, but he also does influence this stuff. He has a vision, and that's what he brings to every Marvel film. Is he brings a vision. He talks to the writers, he talks to the directors. He makes sure to bring the right people together to do things. And he's kind of like an orchestra conductor, and he makes these mm-hmm. things happen. And, I think whatever he's going to do is going to be positive. And I think hopefully what he's going to affect is some measure of change that, you know, Liz, there's a lot of what you said that I agree with, that there are some of the things that they've done, like with the sequel trilogy and stuff, and I'm definitely not bashing them. I like the films, but I don't love them. And I'm hoping that that's kind of what Kevin's going to do, is kind of be part of what's going to be reinvigorating Star Wars. And there's a lot of different projects going on for Star Wars. So it's cool that they're just bringing in all these different people to work on different things, and they're going to get a lot of different perspectives.
I will say one of my main problems with the newest genre of everything is the show running ability and the cohesiveness of things. The fact that the book Phasma came out, which is I'm not done with it, but it's a phenomenal book. But then like the threads into the movie are like, why did you write a book about her when this is her story? You know, like to me, the cohesiveness across everything is so not what it was. And even back in the day, George, to all his faults and the Legends canon to its cohesiveness and incohesiveness, which it had both, it felt very different to me. And I have a nostalgia from that time period that I'm trying not to put on now, but it's very difficult. So I come at it from a different perspective. I don't want it to be like it was. I want it to be its own thing, but it doesn't feel at all cohesive or thoughtful to me. What I feel from Marvel, and this is the first, like with Infinity War and Endgame, is the first like time period in my life when Marvel has eclipsed Star Wars in my heart and my life and my brain and my fandom. So to bring Kevin Feige, who has perpetuated that success in my own life, to Star Wars is a positive to me. But I think my reservations come from Star Wars in general, and my relationship to it via fandom and people online and what I've experienced, the backlash of that I've experienced for not being as connected mm-hmm. to it, but calling myself a Star Wars fan. And so that's really hard for me to collate, to be like hopeful of seeing something positive come out, just because I've gotten negative backlash personally from calling myself a Star Wars fan, but not loving like Kylo and Rey and like the whole whatever, blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, I get it. Like, fine. But I think that like his showrunning ability, I have such faith in. So I do want to say that, even though I think my reservations come from something completely not related to him. There we go.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's a whole thing for me.
Well, hopefully we'll get more news about this probably next year sometime, I would imagine, after the release of episode 9 and all that dies down a little bit. Then we'll have plenty of time to talk about what's coming next, which I'm looking forward to. Now, we had talked about Joker back in the opening here, which was the box office release. And there's been some news that they're not going to let press on the red carpet for the premiere, primarily because of the backlash they've been getting over the negative comments about how violent the movie is. And I don't know. I mean, I've read this and I've read several articles about it. It just doesn't make sense to me not to do this. I mean, they're saying they want the movie to speak for itself now and not let reporters get in there and kind of muddy things up. They want to let people see it and experience the movie and think for themselves as to what their response to the movie is. There's been a lot of negative press recently about how violent the movie is. If it's going to encourage people to go out and commit violent acts themselves, then, you know, I don't know. Some of the stuff I read, I'm like, shake my head. But I guess it's a valid thing to think about. I mean, police are gearing up for potential problems with the release of the movie this weekend. Tim, what are your thoughts on this? You've been a little more close to this than I have probably, but what do you think about them not doing press for the premiere and the speculation over all the negative tones of the movie?
Well, yeah. So the premiere for this was last night, and they stuck to their rules on this, that photographers and such were allowed there, but they didn't allow any interviews and such. And, you know, the thing is, it's nothing new that they don't allow interviews on premieres. So, and I also understand that they don't want to distract from what they're doing. And they know that a good percentage of questions are going to be about this controversy. And that's not what they wanted to be addressing. They wanted to do their premiere. They want to celebrate the movie. That's what premieres are all about. And so they stuck to that. And I think that's fine. In terms of the controversy that's out there for it, I mean, there have been some threats that law enforcement is taking seriously about this. And, you know, movie theaters, we know this from the Aurora, Colorado shooting a number of years ago. Movie theaters are what we call soft targets. You have minimal security. They are essentially public venues, even though they are privately owned and can have access restricted and all that stuff. That kind of thing, that they are generally viewed as public venues, and people can get in them. And, you know, unfortunately, these types of acts can be carried out there. And actually, the shooting at Aurora was done during a Batman movie.
Right.
You know, so there is, that's another thing that's kind of giving some people, you know, kind of some tie to this, I guess. I mean, I'm not really going to comment on, you know, this is the wrong time for a movie kind of thing. I mean, there's been violence in movies since the beginning of movies, and there's been violence in humanity since the beginning of humanity. So I think people are seeing this as a reason to protest it for whatever reason. And they're doing so because they've never seen, because they haven't even seen the movie. Generally not interested in seeing it because the trailers didn't do a whole heck of a lot for me. Like I said before, when the movie was first announced, I was highly interested in it. But the trailers really turned me off to it. I just, there's not a lot there that attracts me. We'll see, you know, how the ratings come out for it and such. And hopefully, you know, there are no acts of violence that are associated with this film and in real life. You know, I want everyone to stay safe.
Exactly. Now, Lizzie, are you running out of the theater to see this movie?
I mean, deeply not, because the trailer pisses me off. I hate everything about it. I like Joaquin Phoenix as an actor. I think he's very skilled. I hate what they're doing with the Joker. I hate everything about it. I don't like it. I'm not going to see it. I'm never going to see it. I don't care what anybody says. But to say that, like, number one, have you ever heard of the Joker? You want it to be a nonviolent film? Have you ever heard of the Joker? Goodbye. Right. Exactly. Go away.
Exactly.
I saw The Killing Joke in theaters, and it didn't incite violence, and nobody protested it. And they should have, because it was violent AF. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So.
And it was animated, and people could even take that slant of, well, oh my gosh, it's animated, therefore it must be for kids, and, you know. Right. And it's not.
Yeah.
And it has in it and junk. So, like, if you really want to be mad about something, be mad about the animated version of The Killing Joke in theaters. Because I think it has nothing on, you know, Joker has nothing on that movie to me. The character of the Joker is a deeply disturbed, dark individual in general. And so to be like, oh, a Joker movie? Well, that probably is not that violent. What? It's violent? We should probably protest. Right. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, get a life.
Yeah, I don't know how people are surprised that this is a violent movie and that's focused on someone with mental illness and violent because of that. I mean, that's Joker. If you haven't been paying attention, that's Joker.
Right.
That's who he is. Right. And there's been other violent movies out this year that haven't got this kind of backlash. Right.
I mean, yeah. not this year, but like, yo, Deadpool's pretty freaking violent. And nobody's like, let yeah. me go shoot up a theater about Deadpool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, let's protest. I mean,
John
Deadpool.
Wick 3 earlier this year. Oh my God. That was a pretty violent movie. Right. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, I don't get, is it just because it's a comic book movie that people are, you know, raising this kind of red flag for? I don't know.
I think it's an easy scapegoat to something that people are naturally afraid of. And because the shooting at Aurora happened during a Batman film, it's an easy filler. Now, let's also talk about the fact that shootings happen in schools where there aren't traditional violence happening or anything on the screen at all. Or how about a freaking concert in Vegas where there is music, which is nonviolent. So you can't really like pin the violence on the content. You have to pin the violence on the violence and the person. So this is a scapegoat move to me that seems completely like not relevant to the actual content. And the fact that they're responding to it pisses me off even more, because they should stand up and say, like, it's not about the content. It's about the actual act of violence that a person would perpetuate. And that we don't support. Therefore, come and talk about our movie, because we're not afraid of you talking about our movie in the way that you want to talk about it, because we're not afraid of you inciting violence, because that's not how that freaking works. Like, this makes me mad across the board.
Yeah.
Now, it's not their fault that I don't like their movie. They're telling a story and I'm just not connecting with it. That's a completely different thing. Yeah. I support them having all of the press and the journalism and the regular red carpet that a normal movie nowadays would have. And I think it's ridiculous not to respond with strength instead of fear, which is, I think, what they're doing. They're afraid of what people will say, so they're responding by, like, shutting it down, which, like, a shooting is going to happen because a person who is mentally ill and thinks that they have the right to shoot people is going to shoot people. That has nothing to do with the Joker. or Batman, or freaking SpongeBob. You know what I mean?
It's
SpongeBob inspires violence.
Very violent.
It's,
and people like me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's the interesting thing is that kind of as I've been following this for the last few weeks, both, you know, this is kind of one of those opportunities where it intersects between my pop culture interests and my profession. And I've been kind of trying to figure out who the people are that are like seriously protesting this. And it's really interesting because there's no blanket that I can throw over and say it's these types of people. It's hard for me to like, there doesn't seem to be a categorization of it's people who have this type of political leaning or people who have this type of religious leaning or some other kind of categorical identifier. It's very, very diverse in terms of who it is, and it seems to be very sporadic. I don't understand it. And I haven't done a huge in-depth analysis. I'm really just kind of looking at like social media and the people who are commenting on it and in these certain ways and trying to figure out like, can we put these people in a box? And we can't, which is a little frustrating and a little challenging also.
You know, the interesting thing about some of this controversy is the people that are protesting this and saying that, oh my God, it's a violent movie. You shouldn't be showing, you shouldn't be making this kind of movie. Aren't people that have seen the movie? They're going based on
no one has.
Industry.
I mean,
you know, right. Yeah. Outside of, I think, the
select few. Yeah.
Festivals.
Festivals, screeners, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, you know, you're making comments based on what the media is pumping up and giving out to you, and you have no idea what the movie is really showing. So it's like, well, I don't know. I mean, how credible can you be, and how good is your argument if you're saying it's too violent, don't watch it,
right,
when you haven't even seen it yourself?
Well, also, I think the cross-section of people who are afraid is so diverse that it is, I think it makes sense that it would be a diverse group of people who are responding out of fear. We're in a, like, not to get political, but we are in a time period where things are uncertain and fearful in these areas, especially around guns and and violence. And so to try to find a scapegoat to blame it on is not unhuman. It's completely human to be like, I want to explain why we're doing this. I want to have something to blame and I want to shut it down. So it makes sense to me that people are searching for something to latch on to try to explain why human nature is so dark and violent and the way it is. But like,
but it's also unfounded and unproductive.
It's completely unfounded and it actually creates a really unhealthy narrative where we blame it on something that it doesn't have anything to do with.
Right.
And we absolve the person that actually is to blame to say that like, oh, the reason they did it is video games. So we should shut down video games or promoting them or whatever. Like
that's not the,
it's
the reason.
Statistically not the reason. And the same goes for film. So I think it's a dangerous way to handle it. It's unfortunate that they're responding out of the backlash, but it's also like, what are you going to do from a PR standpoint? You kind of don't have a, you kind of don't have a choice at some level, but you'd still hope that people would not give in to this kind of fear-mongering mentality. But I mean, hello, Hollywood and fear-mongering have sort of like lived off each other for a long time. So
they certainly have.
I don't know.
So that being said, I mean, just going around the table here, I mean, Lizzie doesn't have any desire to see this at all. Tim said you were excited about it before the trailers came out, and then the trailers kind of, you know, put some water on the fire for you, so you're not really interested in seeing it. I had no desire to see it from the beginning. The second trailer actually made me a little more interested in seeing this, but probably not in the theater. I'll probably see it, you know, on video or something like that later on.
Yeah,
well,
same.
Well, what about it made you want to see it, though? I need to know.
I think the acting really looked good. I mean, you know, Phoenix is a great actor. You know, it doesn't look like the portrayal of Joker that I've always heard of or wanted to see, but it might be good. I mean, I think the acting might raise it to another level above and beyond what the story is.
And those have actually been the main comments on, like, Joaquin Phoenix's acting is absolutely phenomenal in this movie, which I believe. I'm sure it's incredible.
Well, let me kind of already knew that about him as an actor.
Well,
like, if you've ever seen freaking Gladiator, then you know the caliber of actor he's at, or Walk the Line, even like in a very different
I think
role.
He's a great actor, so that'd be why I'd want to see it, but probably on, you know, streaming or something later on when I can watch it for free.
The fact that he didn't get a Joker role before from Gladiator is crazy to me because Gladiator is so like, his character in Gladiator is so manic, crazy, like Joker-y.
Oh,
Like,
and I just watched that a few weeks back too, and I'm like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Great movie. He really want to hate him in that role too. He did such a good job. I really hate you. You know, it's like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's so good at it. He's like Joffrey level good at like, and he's a much better actor than the kid who plays Joffrey, but like you hate Joffrey so much that like level. But, so it makes sense that he would play Joker. And so when I heard he was going to play it, I'm with Tim. Like, that was intriguing to me. But then seeing the trailer, I was like, what the actual F are you doing with the Joker? Yeah. Like, stop it. Why is he in that suit with the thing and the get out of here?
Yeah, yeah.
That made me mad. But anyways.
Well, and now for something completely different. Tim threw this in the middle of our notes here, and I'm not sure why it's right.
This is what Tim does.
Tim, I mean, so Super Bowl halftime shows are usually a very big thing. And this year we're getting J-Lo and Shakira.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm so freaking excited about this. I follow J-Lo on Instagram. Okay. I don't follow a lot of, like, big celebrity accounts just because, like, why? I'm doing my own thing over here. Like, what does it serve other than like J-Lo's to me is like goals. The woman is recently 50 and like is like, I can't with her.
Oh, yeah.
Cannot.
Yep. She's definitely all that. Yep.
Oh, she just wore the jungle dress she wore when she was 30 again in the Versace runway show. And like, everyone lost their mind. I lost my mind. Like, I can't. But I saw in my feed that she was going to be, and I was like, I don't even give a crap about the Super Bowl, but I will be watching the Super Bowl because J-Lo
wore a dress twice.
I know.
I didn't even do that. I wear a pair of jeans on Monday. I throw them out.
It was updated.
So,
I am excited about this news.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of either of their music, but I'm actually really excited about them doing the halftime show. They're both very high energy performers. you know a lot of their music. I mean, it's stuff that you hear. So, you know, even though you might, maybe you can't think of anything right now that they do, but as soon as they start, you're, oh yeah, I know this. And it's an earworm and it stays in your head. So it's a,
and hopefully they perform it live as opposed to artists in the past that have done lip syncing, which bothers the hell out of me.
So but I think it's going to be a really entertaining show. I think it's going to be great.
J-Lo is 50 and she's going to do the freaking Super Bowl halftime show. Like, can we all just bow at the altar of J-Lo? Because I am going to make her my queen. Like, holy crap. Like,
yeah.
I can't with her. I love her.
I'm 50.
Okay. Well, we're not bowing at your altar. Sorry. You want to wear the jungle dress and walk down the red carpet, then fine. I'll light a shrine to your
effigy. Sounds like a challenge, Tim.
Yeah.
I challenge you.
Okay. Now, I probably got the best two people in our network to talk about this next story here with me on the show tonight.
I need more wine for this.
Oh, boy. Now, have you guys talked about this on the MCU yet?
No,
or haven't you guys recorded since this news broke?
We have not recorded yet. We're going to be doing this tomorrow night.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Awesome. So this is your primer. You can get ready for your show tomorrow night by talking about it tonight. Yeah. So what we're talking about is the news that dropped. I think this is on Friday, was it?
I believe so, yeah.
A couple of days ago, yeah. So I think it was when I was in my haziness of going in and out of my medical procedure I had on Friday. So, yeah, we have Spider-Man, who's now back in the hands of the MCU for at least two more films.
Yeah. Yeah, so
this is great news. I'm excited about
this. Yeah, this is great news. It did not surprise me at all. You know, people were like, oh, this is the end of the world kind of stuff earlier. And, you know, we talked about it. We reported it over. We talked about it here on this show. We obviously talked about it quite a bit over on Guardians. And it didn't surprise me that they went back to this. So it's going to be for two more films. They're saying that there's likely going to be one more solo film and one more large crossover film. They did, in fact, announce that there will be a Spider-Man 3. They even gave us a release date, which is going to be July 16th, 2021, which is interestingly enough, makes for four MCU films releasing in 2021. This is the first time that four MCU films have ever been released in the same calendar year. So that's a really, really busy year. And this new agreement, just people, I think, are surmising this from some of the wording that came out in the announcement, that the new agreement seems to stipulate that Sony can feature Spider-Man in other Sony films. So some folks are guessing, well, gee, maybe he's going to show up in Venom 2. Maybe he's going to show up elsewhere. So my big concern about this, and we actually had a little bit of conversation in this in Discord, and I think that Erasure and I disagreed a bit in this, is that he basically says, well, they could just do this anyway. And well, yeah, they can, but they're not going to, because it's brand confusion. When you have Tom Holland Spider-Man in the MCU, then Tom Holland Spider-Man in, just for example, Venom. Well, then that means that Venom exists in the MCU. And if Marvel Studios is not signing off on that, then that's a problem. And the majority of fans are not going to be able to separate A from B. So I don't think that they're haphazardly going to do that. I think if they do it, it's going to be very well thought out. If they do it, and I am not completely sure that they are going to do it. Liz.
Yeah, they're not going to do it.
Well, what if they had a different actor play Spider-Man in, say, a Venom movie?
I mean, unless they open up like a multiverse situation within the MCU Spider-Man that would suggest that there would be a different Spider-Man in the Venom-verse versus the MCU-verse, then fine. But like, I think that's a bit convoluted and I don't see them really going there. Even despite the success of like Into the Spider-Verse and like us secretly wishing that they could do a live action sort of version of that, which we all do, let's just be honest.
Sure.
I just don't see them going in that direction. It doesn't mean that Sony wouldn't pull the trigger on throwing him in their own films, but I think they're going to handle it with like kid gloves to keep Disney's part of the deal.
Yeah.
I would hope so. I mean, yeah. They know they have a good thing going with this. They know that the reason why Spider-Man is doing so much better than it was doing before is because it's part of the MCU and under the umbrella, you know, that they've been working towards with that. If my wondering is, you know, where did this come about? I mean, obviously we had the news, what, a month ago, 2 months ago, when they said, nope, Spider-Man's out. And like Tim said, the internet, you know, lost their collective heads.
But don't you think that's where it came from? They're watching the internet lose its collective head.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're doing some of that. And obviously there are benefits to both studios to have this agreement. Marvel was able to continue the stories that they've set up with it. And obviously Spider-Man has a pretty heavy intrinsic value to be including in the MCU films. Huge benefit, obviously, to Sony. Spider-Man Far From Home is the largest film that Sony, that they got put out under the Sony banner. And a lot of that is credited to the fact that Spider-Man is part of the MCU. So, you know, they brought a lot of the audience along with them. I do want to answer, Lou, you had asked earlier about, you know, what if they used a different actor for Spider-Man over on the Sony side of things. It would help reduce some of the brand confusion, but I think that, again, more casual fans would have some confusion with it. It would further help if they did a different version, if they didn't do Peter, if they did, say, Miles Morales. That would help.
Which they set up the building blocks for.
Yeah, so that would help even more if they did a different non-Peter Parker Spider-Man. So there's different things that they can do to reduce that brand confusion. You're still going to have a segment of folks who Spider-Man is Spider-Man and they're not going to know. You can't cater to the lowest common denominator in a lot of things, but you still have to acknowledge it and you have to know what you're going into. And as Liz said, you have to handle it very carefully.
I also think the fact that like Sony was getting like crapped on about the whole deal versus Disney getting crapped on about the whole deal was garbage from the internet because of the way everything went down. And so I think it just caused everybody to like think twice from just the like, sometimes the juggernaut needs to really be ignored. I think in the Star Wars instance, it needs to be shut up, like go away, go to your corner, go away. But I think in this instance, like it was really hard to ignore the fact that people were so positive about Tom Holland. Did you see like the Wolf of Wall Street clip that he posted on his, I think his Twitter once he was back in the fold?
Yes.
It's just like who he is off screen and on screen. It's the same way with Tony. It's the same way with Cap. Like I think that there's this melding happening that we're seeing on screen and off screen. And I think that seeing him separated would have, I just hurt as far as watching. And I think that if execs are smart, which it feels like they are from watching this whole thing go down and making a different choice, they would be smart to watch that and make and like just pay attention to it. And I think that they did. And I think that's part of why we're seeing this deal extend to another two movies, which is plenty of time to wrap it up and separate or pass off the torch if they want to get a new character in there and allow Sony to take the reins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is one of the few times that we've seen the greed of getting more money, you know, doing a movie just for a money grab, coincide with doing the right thing for the franchise, doing the right thing for the character, doing the right thing for all the players at hand. You know, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the negotiations or the phone call when they said, yeah, remember we said we're going to do something. Maybe we should rethink that. You know, maybe we should talk about this and maybe come to terms and do something together again. I mean, I think it makes sense for everybody. Like Tim said, it makes sense for Sony, it makes sense for Marvel. Yeah. The actors are in place now. They're, you know, I think it's a good thing going forward. I'm happy about this news. I'm excited that we're getting more stuff. Yeah. I think, you know, like everybody was concerned we were just going to get garbage back to where we had before this whole thing came out. So I'm happy. And I think it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah. It was interesting that there were some people saying, basically looking at Far From Home and saying, oh, well, see, Sony doesn't need Marvel. They can still put up big movies. Again, Far From Home was largely, and I'm not negating Sony's involvement or their intellectual property, but so much of that was hinged on the MCU and the story that has been built in the MCU, both with and without Peter Parker / Tom Holland's version of Spider-Man. There's so much that leaned on.
Teams. Yeah, I mean, look at the teams that were in place to help that movie out.
Yeah.
Well, and it's an epilogue to Phase 3. So it wouldn't have existed without the setup of the last three phases of these films and this whole journey that he's been on since Civil War. And the fact that they made the initial deal in the first hand was, to me, a sign that, like, two gigantic studios could think, like, what could we do if we worked together? So the fact that it was starting to break down was like, all right, back to normal. Like, people can't work together and everything is garbage. Like, whatever. Now, again, I think Sony got a lot of the crap they didn't deserve because Disney upped the ante to a really ridiculous level in this deal, saying, like, you need us, basically. And Sony was like, no, we don't. You do. You both need each other in the Spider-Man realm. Like, just stick together, man. Just stick together.
Yeah, it's mutually beneficial.
It's a good thing for everybody.
It's mutually beneficial. There's no downside to it. They both stand to make a crap ton of money. And I don't think that they released the details of this contract in terms of the financial obligation, which is the stuff that was being talked about during the negotiation. But I'm assuming that it's some version of Disney offering up more money up front to help produce the film. And as a result, they're also going to take they're going to have a little bit of a bigger cut, whether it is first day or, you know, a longer period of time, whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's Disney, Marvel Studios saying, yeah, we want to invest in this. We believe in it. It obviously does really well. We're interested and willing to invest in this stuff up front.
I think we had assumed that there was compromises made on both sides, regardless of what the end deal was.
Yes,
from what we know going into this a month ago, was that people weren't making compromises. They were like, we want what we want. We want what we want. Too bad, too bad. And the internet was like, no! And then they were like, I guess we have to make a deal, which is how life works, I think. It's like a marriage, right? I don't know, because I'm not married, but, like, you know, I assume.
Yeah,
you both
negotiation and compromise. That's what it's all about. And communication.
Exactly. And the compromise is something where nobody is happy at the end.
Totally. Although we are all happy at the end of this.
Except for the fans in this case. Exactly. So we got two last quick things before we get into our reboots, remakes, and sequels. You guys are familiar with The Far Side, correct?
Oh, yeah.
No. I mean, I'm familiar, but I never
No? Oh my God, Lizzie.
Nope.
The Far Side was like my mainstay for the 15 years it was a daily comic.
Iconic.
You're older than me.
Yeah, very. Yes, thanks, Lizzie. Thank you. Thank you very much. So The Far Side is the single panel comics that have been in papers syndicated from, what were the years? Like 80 through 94 or something like that?
Yeah, probably somewhere on there.
94?
It was a long time it was on.
I was 12.
Oh, Lizzie. So the guy who was in you know, basically behind The Far Side, Gary Larson, his website had been, you know, not much out there for a while, but changed recently to a graphic of, you know, his favorite characters, which is like a cow, and some other guys here being defrosted with a flamethrower from an iceberg. And it says, The Far Side, uncommon, unreal, and soon to be unfrozen. A new online era of Far Side is coming. So I am excited we're getting online Far Side single panel comics in the near future. I cannot wait. This is going to be fantastic. He had done, let's see here, what was it? January 1st, 1980 to January 1st, 1995. So, Lizzie, you were 13, not 12.
There you go, 13. Still not interested in a comic in the newspaper.
Oh, my God. There was so much more than that. There was the books or the compilations. I own all the anthologies. And they were just some of the really thought-provoking and head-scratching, like, oh, my God, that's so funny. So, I am looking forward to this stuff. So, That is good dad news like to that. Hear. It's been far too long. Oh, Tim, she just related us to her dad. I feel really old now.
Yeah.
My dad's older than you, if that helps.
Oh, great.
Oh, good.
She thinks of us like her dad, and he's older than we are. Okay, lastly, have you guys heard of Action Park?
No. I have not.
This was a water slide, alpine slide, adventure-type park in Jersey.
Okay.
Back in, like, the 80s and 90s.
Jersey.
And I came across a trailer for a documentary about how bad and unsafe this park was back in the day. So think of this as like alpine slides, which are those concrete sled running things where you had a sled with wheels and you can, you know, kind of zoom around, I guess. Well, you can think of like a bobsled run, but on concrete, which sounds really dangerous to begin with.
Did people water die?
Slides they had. Well, you know, believe it or not, yes, they did.
What? I was joking.
So park had numerous injuries. Six people actually died at this park over the years.
Oh, my God, I feel horrible. I was joking.
I didn't know this one. I'd been there 3 or 4 times when I was a kid. I mean, some of the stuff is like they had like a cliff diving thing. It was like 30 feet from the top of the cliff into the water.
You could have died.
And they had... Yeah, kids died. Yeah, didn't know that at the time. But this is a documentary about that scenario. And like, there was one of the things they had. They had this, you know, the water slides are like round tubes where you kind of like get on this round tube in the dark and it shoots you out over the water and you drop down. Yes. Well, they had one that was like a round tube that did a loop. And yeah, it was never open when I was there. It was something that was like, oh my God, I'm never going to do that. But it's open. It's like, no, it's not open, but it's there. Well, people were getting beat up and hurt in there kind of stuff. But wow. So there's a documentary coming out about this. It's called Class Action Park.
I see what they did there.
Because that was the nickname of the place. They called it Class Action Park.
That's funny.
Because it was such a bad place to be.
But Lou, you could have died.
If you get a chance, check out the trailer. It looks funny. Yeah, I could have. But they had like whitewater rafting rides. It was like a, you know, water slide. You're in a 4-man boat. And it was a fun place. But evidently it wasn't as safe as I may have thought it was when I was a kid.
I was joking when I said, did people die? And now, like, it was real.
Now, yeah, people did. Yeah, so there was an article on Dark Horizons about it.
That's terrifying.
The place shut down in the 90s, I think it was. But it is kind of crazy. they had mini Indy cars you could drive around on a track, and they had, you know, tanks you could drive around with people shooting tennis balls at you and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds like a good time. But I would do that.
Evidently a little
minus
dangerous.
The unfortunate deaths. Good Lord.
Yeah.
So anyways, reboots, remakes, and sequels. We'll go through this stuff real quick. Disney is going to be doing a live action Snow White. Which, of course, why not? Because they're doing everything live action now.
Yeah. What's weird is that, like, they already have Snow White and the Huntsman, which felt like the precursor to all what they're doing now. I mean, I understand that was like a different vision, the way that Maleficent.
Different version. Yeah.
Is a different vision for the retelling, and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin are like accurate, pulled from the shot for shot, like remake. But it seems strange to me that they would like the second Huntsman movie, like, just came out, I don't know, like a year or two ago. Like, it seems strange that, didn't it? Like two or three years ago.
Longer than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm guessing they want to do something that is more closely aligned with the traditional story.
Well, I mean, that makes sense that they, I mean, that's what it sounds like. And that's the more like the direction that they've been going. But like, that's such a unique vision. So then to now make this, which isn't a unique vision, is like,
right.
Why? Because you did the unique thing.
Yeah.
It'd be like, because they're making Maleficent right now, and then to just turn around and do like a shot for shot Sleeping Beauty, which I'm sure they'll do. But like, I don't know.
They probably will.
This Disney reboot thing, like, I'm on board to a certain extent, but I think that they're going to lose people before they, want to, from being in the community and hearing the responses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think they're going to end up hitting a wall with it where, you know, not everyone, but, and they've certainly had like really great success with some of them. I mean, still Beauty and the Beast was just fantastically done.
Mm-hmm. And Aladdin. I loved Aladdin. And it hit, you know, tent poles and everything and whatever.
Yeah. And yeah. Some people were very critical of it. Some people really liked it. Lion King, again, some people liked it. There seemed to be, though, a lot of people that didn't. So I think they are eventually going to hit a wall where it may not be panning out for them.
My thing with it is that, Snow White came out in the 50s to 40s. I don't know when it came out. But anyways, it was like the first, and it was a billion years ago. And from Snow White to now, we have the entire canon of Disney films, animated princess, everything, Lion King, the whole shebang. And that, because now they're doing Lady and the Tramp, and they're doing all of these other like animal live action too, like Lion King or whatever. But so we have the entire canon from Snow White to now. But if you look at the live action, it's like in the last 4 years, it's going to be like an 8 year period when they've done all of them. They're doing the freaking Great Mouse Detectives, which pisses me off. If you want to get real, don't touch the Great Mouse Detectives. If you want to do live action, it's freaking Sherlock Holmes. That's what it is. Don't touch it. Don't do it. It makes me mad. I don't want to see live action mice. I'm going to be so mad. But I think that to like truncate that history with these movies in the live action time frame is the mistake for me. If they were like doing one every 4 years and you'd get like this really big production of something that you loved as a kid but you're seeing in new light, I could get on board with that. But this is like bam, bam, bam. Mm-hmm. It's too much for me. So I think that
it is coming.
I'm a person who is already preordained to love most things Disney does, and I'm like slow your roll, Disney. So just as far as that counts, but that's how I feel about it.
Hmm. Okay. We have Jason Bateman is in talks to direct and star alongside Ryan Reynolds in a Clue remake. This would be pretty cool. I think this would be a plus. Thumbs up.
Yeah, I love the original Clue, but for me,
Clue was good.
I don't seem to be of the philosophy that they have to keep their hands off of it. I'm pretty cool with the reimagining of it to see what they do, and it could be awesome. It could not be. It could be somewhere in the middle. I don't know, but I say have at it, and I think it could be a lot of fun.
Clue feels,
and I think we've had enough time since the other Clue. Yeah. I mean, the original one was 85.
Yeah.
So have at it. Yeah. I mean, I think that's more than enough time to let it sit and age.
But Clue
and
to the me thing feels... is, the... oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say the original Clue is it's an interesting thing because it is itself iconic, yet it is completely filled with tropes, and it makes fun of itself.
Yeah.
And so it's a rare film that's been able to do that, and I think that's been one of the successes of it, and it holds up incredibly, incredibly well. I mean, we probably watch it here two or three times a year. Love it. So yeah, I'm interested to see what they're going to do. And Jason Bateman is pretty good. I'm casually a fan of his, and he seems to kind of have a resurgence the last few years that he's been doing a lot more stuff. And his stuff has been good. And obviously I'm a huge, huge Ryan Reynolds fan. To see him doing something in Clue, I think could be incredible.
First of all, Arrested Development is one of my very favorite shows. So season 1 through 3, Jason Bateman in Arrested Development. I'm not even counting 4 and 5 because they piss me off. I'm not going to talk about them. But seasons 1 through 3 are like up there for me with Friends and Seinfeld, which is saying a lot. I also think the Clue for me reminds me a lot of like the remakeability of Murder on the Orient Express.
I think we lost Lizzie.
Why?
Yep. She had an internet blip, apparently.
What?
And she's just purely frozen.
What?
Okay, well, we'll move on. We may get her audio later on. May have to have Eric do some editing magic, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. Lastly, we have here the BBC is remaking War of the Worlds in a 3-part miniseries. Did you see the trailer for this, Tim?
I did. It's a really more of a teaser. It's really, really short. This is another one of those things that kind of similar to Clue. And, we've seen War of the Worlds made and remade before. And this one is kind of intriguing. I'm totally cool with them redoing this and seeing what they're going to have here. So this is set in what they're calling Edwardian England, which is like somewhere around World War I-ish, either right before or right after is my guess. I'm totally for it. I love all versions of War of the Worlds that I've seen. And I think this could be cool. Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be good too. I mean, I like the period piece aspect of this set in the same time frame that this was really actually set before the time frame. This was originally, written as a story from Wales, right?
Yes.
Because that was more World War II-ish, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to this. I think it'll be a good movie, a good trailer, a good series on BBC, and they've done some great stuff in the past. So it'll be kind of good to see. I'm looking forward to it. And this will be sometime next year, I believe, right?
I think so. I don't remember when they said it was, but
date here for this. Of course, I got an ad.
I'm also curious as to how long it's going to take them to get through it because, you know, BBC release schedules, they just kind of do their own thing. And, it's three parts and they could release all three within a month. They could release all three within a year and a half. It, you never know when it comes to BBC.
Right.
So,
and we don't know if it's going to be an hour or.
Yeah.
How long are the episodes of Sherlock? Like 3 hours a piece, 6 hours a piece? It's like crazy stuff there. So it'll be interesting to see what we do with that. But I'm looking forward to getting this in our hands. Yeah. That'd be fun. Yeah. Now that is all we had. I know we're running long, but I had one thing I wanted to throw in real quick to the What Were They Thinking Weekly.
Sure.
And I don't have any notes for here, but Tim, did you see the article or the story? Is it last week? I think it was the kid that was on ESPN Game Day that held up the sign that said, you know, Bud Light supply running low, need replenishment funds.
No.
He had a sign held up and he had his Venmo account on the sign. And he started getting donations. He had like $300-$400 in donations right away. And, you know, it was just a joke stunt he did to get some money for free beer. Didn't think it was going to work. And then he decided, well, you know, I'm going to donate the money I'm getting. I'll buy a case of beer. I'm going to donate the money I'm getting to a children's hospital. And I think it was in Indiana. There's a hospital that was like overlooking the stadium. And I guess he was from the opposing team, not the home team, but the home team would wave to the kids at the beginning of every game. And so it was kind of a thing they did. Cool. And he was going to donate all those proceeds to that hospital.
Nice.
Well, Anheuser-Busch got wind of it and they said they were going to match all the funds going in. And then Venmo got involved. They said they were going to match all the funds going in. The kid raised like $2 million for this hospital.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was great. And this kid became instant celebrity. He was on ESPN a couple of times and all good stuff. So he's 24, 23, something like that, 22 years old, college student. And then this week is when the What Were They Thinking part came out.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what newspaper it was, but dug into his past, found a couple of racist tweets when he was 16.
Okay.
And, all of a sudden vilified this kid on the internet.
That's too bad.
It's funny because the internet actually got behind him and said, look, it was 16 years old. It was, 8 years ago and, different person. And, stupid mistakes in your kids. This thing.
Absolutely.
He hasn't had the history of doing this since then. So he's not racist and this and that.
Yeah.
But they went ahead and, posted the article anyways. And then the newspaper came out with an article saying, we hemmed and hawed over posting this stuff. This and that. We felt that it was in the best interest in being fair and everything open to put it out there.
But it's great. Not because it's lovely. So not relevant when it's
right. It's so removed. Yeah. It's not relevant
when it's from that long ago. It's not even relevant. That's
I've kind of liked how the internet has got behind this kid now and tried to say, look, this doesn't matter and this and that. And it's, it shouldn't be part of the story, but the role, what were they thinking? Part of this was afterward, they investigated the reporter who did this and found racist tweets in his past and fired the guy. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. What? Talk about living in glass houses, throwing stones, right? I mean, let a good deed be a good deed. It doesn't have to be all this other background. And I'm like, what'd you do 20 years ago when you were a kid in high school? Oh my God, I just don't get it.
Exactly. But, it's like, everyone makes mistakes and it's how people recover from those mistakes and how they move forward and what they do afterwards. That's mm-hmm. That's what should be defining them, not necessarily the mistake that they make. You know, if they keep on repeating that mistake, if they show a pattern of that kind of stuff, yes, that's when they absolutely deserve some judgment. But you know, a one-time mistake and again, context for things. I mean, he was 16 mm-hmm. years old. He's, you know, what and the longevity of things and all that stuff.
Right. And I'm not saying it's right, but I don't even know what the tweets were, but you know, was it a joke that was,
we're not excusing
off color, marginally acceptable back then versus now. It's hard to judge past actions by today's standards.
Yeah. We're absolutely not excusing it. I mean, it's not right. No. But to be lambasting someone, especially in the face of him doing something so incredibly awesome, to say, you know, hey, look, he's really not that good of a guy. Oh, screw you. That's just so wrong.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
So wrong.
It's still $2 million going to a children's hospital, which I think is great. Yeah. Now, you know, on the plus side, I mean, when this first came out, I guess Anheuser-Busch decided to disassociate themselves with him. They're still going to, you know, match the funds and make the donations. That's all going to go through. But one of the things I guess is not going to happen, when they originally went forward to this, they were going to give him a year supply of beer mm-hmm. and they're going to print up special cans with his face on the can, which I thought was kind of funny, but that part's not going to happen now and stuff. But I'm glad everybody's going through with the donations, and Venmo is still behind it.
Yeah, totally.
And Anheuser-Busch is still behind the donations, but it's a shame that we have to, you know, dig so much into the past and say, look, this kid maybe not know what he was doing when he was that age. And you know, I mean, and there's even been studies proven that, my wife keeps bringing this up when we talk about this kind of thing, that, you know, you haven't, your brain isn't fully developed until you're like 24 for making these kind of decisions and that kind of stuff going on and what you're saying and doing. And, you know, that's why you're not an adult, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's why you're not a legal adult until you're older. So just wanted to throw that out there. I thought that was an interesting story and, kind of a good and bad ending to it.
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, it's a great story. It's really inspiring, and yeah, there is a downside to it. But like you said, it's good that it seems that the general public, as it were, is still standing behind this guy, and you know, for a good deed well done, and recognizing that, hey, you know what, everyone has a skeleton in their closet. I mean, to varying degrees, but we've all done stupid things. So, you know,
sure,
yeah.
Okay, well, that does bring us to the end of the episode. Lizzie did not rejoin us, so she is hopefully okay. Hopefully there wasn't a tornado or anything down in Florida.
And, no, she's good. I texted her and
okay,
yeah. Turn it around.
All the talk we had about her internet being so good, and it was great most of the episode.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, boom, gone.
Yep.
Okay, well, we'd love to hear from you guys. Send us feedback about the episode, anything you want to hear us talk about, or anything that we talked about here you want to add to, let us know. The music you hear in the podcast is The Perfect High Side Blues Dolly. Until next week, take care, everybody.